I was there when they started going out together. So I would suggest that Alan's a bit more careful than he has been before. I'm not usually one for passing on tales, but I could. I don't know how long that was ago, Alan, it's a fair time, but as they say, I was there.
Your memory's failing.
My memory is fine. In fact, you can sometimes remember things that never happened before. Now, I'll be looking forward, as I say, to coming here this week. First of all, I like being with crowds of people, and we've certainly got that here. I like being with different ages of people, and we've also got that here. And thirdly, because we can get together now and again and see what the Bible would have to say to us. And that's an important thing. It's not important because it's Ivan who's doing it or it's me that's doing it. It's nothing to do with that really. It's important because the Bible is God's book. And there's a verse in the Bible which I'm not going to speak on tonight, but I'll quote it to you. It says that all scripture, and we'll talk about that a wee bit later, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now some of these words are quite difficult to understand. There's a whole load of things in there that are quite difficult to understand. But to put it in simple terms, when we come to the Bible and when we read it, either publicly, as I'm going to do in a minute, or privately, that's individually, when the Bible speaks, God speaks. And you know, when we come to a meeting like this, we don't just decide to read the Bible just to fill in a minute or two, at least I hope. Sometimes it can appear a bit like that. But probably one of the most important parts of any meeting is when the scriptures are read. Because that is the very breath of God. When the Bible speaks, God speaks. I was speaking to a man, it was last Friday. It was a man I know in Newcastle. He was saved during an open air meeting. A meeting that's held outside. He was away on holiday somewhere, I forget where it was. It was there in the South Coast. It was either Bournemouth or Eastbourne or one of these kind of places. And he had never in his life learned a Bible verse. Now I can remember as a child, and seeing you boys and girls here, I can remember just kind of sitting, I was going to say where you are, but really good before, you know what I mean? Sitting the way you are. And thinking, I wish this man would hurry up. I can remember all of that. But I can also remember verses that I've learned. You know, sometimes you go to Sunday school, you go to children's meeting, you go to something, and there'll be somebody to teach you a Bible verse. You know, I believe now, and it's maybe because I'm getting a bit older, I don't think there's anything better you could do for anybody than teach them something from the Bible. And I remember even when I was at school, primary school, I'd maybe be about 8 or 9. They used to teach us the Bible at school. I know that's maybe difficult to believe. Maybe some get that, I don't know, but I would doubt it personally, but you might, and if you do, good for you. But I can remember being taught to say off by heart Isaiah 53, the whole chapter. And you know, because of that, I can still do it. You know the wonderful thing about hearing something from the Bible when you're young, among other things, it is this, that it stays in your head. But there's one thing that's more important than it staying in your head, and that is that it reaches your heart. The Bible talks about two things. It talks about knowledge, and it talks about wisdom. And you know, they're different. Because you can have knowledge without having wisdom. But you can't have wisdom without having knowledge. You're getting a bit tiny. You see, it's possible to know what the Bible says. That's knowledge, that's in here. It's possible to know what the last bits of it say. Bible stories from the Old Testament and the New Testament and verses. But the wisdom is really putting into practice what we know. That's a big thing. There's a letter in the Bible, a book in the Bible called James, the book of James. And he talks about the book of James. He talks about very practical things. He talks about what we say, what comes out of our mouth. And you know, sometimes if you're like me, sometimes you can look back and you say to yourself, I cannot wish I never said that. James talks about all these kind of things. When the Bible speaks, God speaks. And there was another important thing happened, and that's when Alan tonight opened in prayer. That again is not just something we do as a matter of course. Very important to open prayer. Because what we want to do at this meeting is to make sure that something for God can be done. And I can't do that, I'm sorry to tell you, but I can't do that. And I can't really speak for either, but I'm sure he'll agree with me, he can't do it either. What we need is for God to speak through His Word. That just doesn't happen to old folk, you know. It happens to young people as well. And I was telling about the man, that's when I started up, I was telling about the man I was speaking to earlier. And he was walking past, minding his own business, as they say. And there was somebody shouting, as he put it. Somebody shouting something, he didn't even know what it was. He had never heard anything from the Bible in his life. But what he did remember was this. It was a strange verse. I think the man was thinking of, it was a very good verse. Shouldn't they call a Bible verse strange? It was quite unusual. He was walking past, and this man shouted through a microphone at the open air meeting. He said, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And he said to me about this, he said, you know, he says, I've thought about that for a week. He said, I woke up in the morning, I used to think about it. And you know, he said, I couldn't get it out of my head. He said, he's a taxi driver. And he said, I'll be driving about, and I'll be thinking, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And you know, there's another taxi driver who was a Christian man. And he said to him about it. And eventually, he took him to the scriptures and he showed him God's way of salvation. And he trusted the Lord as his Saviour. One verse. Never heard the Bible in his life. Never had the privilege of his mother teaching him a verse. Never his granny, never his grandpa, never been to Sunday school, never been to a chapel, never been to anything where the Bible was even mentioned. That's why I say to you, when it comes to the scriptures, it's a living book. And it's about the living God. And I want to read to you three verses, and I'm not going to keep you long. I know speakers say that. We're all falling into the trap. I remember as a young lad sitting down about the front one of these meetings, and people would say, the speaker would get up and say, now boys, I'm not going to keep you long. And you know, when he finished, I thought myself, well, I thought something, I wouldn't have liked, you know, when he was long. But I promise you, I won't be long. But I want to read the scriptures to you because I think it's so important. And I would ask you that you listen to the scriptures. I know you would. Because I said I wouldn't keep you long. Three verses I want to read. It's John chapter 6. Part of a verse. It's something that the Lord Jesus said about himself. John chapter 6 and verse 38. and it's just a part of a verse. The Lord Jesus, speaking about himself, he said simply this: "For I came down from heaven." We'll come back to that. He said to the folk listening, he said, "I came down from heaven." Now I'm sure these people have listened to him and never heard anybody say that before. And the reason is, nobody's ever done that before. But we'll come back to that. John chapter 10, this might be what you learned at Sunday school. I remember learning it myself. John chapter 10. And it's part of a verse 15, something the Lord Jesus said about himself. The end of verse 15, he said, "I lay down my life for the sheep." And I'm sure the people who are listening to him at this time have never heard anyone saying that before. And you know the reason to say it? Because no one has ever done that before. Lastly, Hebrews. I remember when I was a child, there was one book in the Bible when somebody said they were going to read it that I could never find. It's funny how many books there are. It was always Hebrews. But I can find it now. Hebrews chapter 10. Two things the Lord Jesus said about himself, and one thing that this writer of this book says about him. Verse 12, this man, speaking about the Lord Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand, or at the right hand of God. No one had ever said that about anyone else either. And that also is because no one had ever done that before. Three verses. And then we're finished. The Lord Jesus got a crowd of people around him. I had the Lord in John's Gospel speak to large numbers of people. I just sometimes wish we could speak. Well, let's just find tonight. I just wish we could speak to large numbers of people sometimes. Large numbers of unsaved people. And just tell them what the Bible says. The Lord Jesus did it a lot. And part of what he said was this. And they're not looking at him, you know. Nothing made up about it, nothing imaginary about it. He was there with the people around him. And he says, "I came down from heaven." I think that little part of the verse tells us a few things. It tells us one thing. It tells us that heaven is a place. It tells us it's not something that somebody made up. Because this is the Son of God he's speaking here. He says, "I came down from heaven." When we need to ask a question, maybe about that. Well, that's just one. If you ask one or two, we'll just ask one. Well, that's one question. Why did he come down? I'm sure there's some children, boys and girls, and you can answer that question. Why? The Bible tells us why he came down. It says, Christ Jesus came into the world, that's here, into the world, to save us. The Lord Jesus said, "I came down from heaven." But there's one thing I want to tell you, and it's quite difficult, but because things are difficult in the Bible, it doesn't mean to say that you ignore them. When he came down to earth, that wasn't the start of his existence. Now I want us to think about that for a moment. It's not the easiest thing, mind you. You know, people talk about eternity. You've heard that before. Eternity. If your mind is anything like mine, and in some ways I hope it isn't, if it is, if your mind is anything like mine, eternity is a very difficult thing for us to come to terms with. Because we're used to watches and clocks and calendars and diaries. We're used to things beginning and we're used to things ending. Everything. School day begins and ends. The morning, and then there's night time. Everything that we know begins and ends. Do you know, that's true about life, you know. Life begins. And life ends. Do you know, there's life that Jesus gives. And it never ends. That's a big one, isn't it? It's called eternal life. And can I tell you something about it? No matter how important we are, or how clever we are, or how clever we're not, nobody is born with it. Nobody is born with eternal life. We're all born with physical life, and it's a wonderful thing, physical life. My mother used to have a green face. And she used to look around plants, you know. And she said she didn't do it, but I've heard her. Now she didn't talk to them thinking that they would give her an assurance. Oh, she knew they were living, right? Oh, she planted these seeds, you know, in the pot and watered them all. And then eventually it just comes up through the soil. It's wonderful, isn't it? Up through the soil. Well, there's life, okay. But that's plant life. And then there's animal life. Animal life. Animals don't have a soul, you know. I respect what anybody tells you, animals don't have a soul. And then, that's us. That's human life. Do you ever think about your brain? I've been thinking a wee bit about my brain recently. Wishing mainly it was a bit better, but besides that, thinking about your brain. There was somebody said to me, somebody phoned me up the other night and said to me, do you remember the girl that was in school where I was when we were in primary steps? And he described where she lived. I gave her a name like that. And I'll tell you, it's a week or two since I've been in primary steps. But I remember, that was my brain. I could recall it instantly. Now, I can't recall everything instantly, but money's that way. You've thought of the brain. The human body, the way it works. We have our tea, doesn't we need it? We had our tea tonight, it was nice. Do you want a meal? We need it. Have a drink? We need it. We breathe. We never even think about it. We just breathe. You don't try and breathe. You just do it. The human body, that's the way we're born. You know what the Bible says about that? It says, well, it's another great verse. It says we're fearful and wonderfully made. Human life. What about eternal life? Now, I told you we were born with it. I'll tell you, you can be born into it. There was a man named Nicodemus, and the Lord says to me, Nicodemus, what do you mean, Nicodemus? He said, you need to be born again. You know what the expression really is? It's born from above. That is where Jesus came from. I came down from heaven. The Bible says you must be born again. Once I've said, the Lord Jesus also said, I lay down my life for the sheep. You know, you and I could do many things. We cannot do different things. We can all do the same things. Some people are better at some things than there are others, and some people, I guess some people are not very much at all, that would be very nice. But we can all do different things to a greater or a lesser extent. One thing we cannot do lay down their life. Oh, you say to me, I've got a people committing suicide, shooting themselves. That is not laying down their life in the Bible sense. Do you know when the Lord Jesus said, I lay down my life? Do you know what he did? Do you know what he did? He did something that neither you or I or anyone else can do. And it's this. He said voluntarily into death. And the Bible said, it's when his hour comes. Do you know another thing he said? He said some wonderful things to Lord Jesus. He said something else that you and I can't say. He said, no man takes my life from me. He says, I lay it down And we've all heard about the cross. We've all heard about Jesus on the center cross. And we've heard about one thief on one side and another thief on the other side. And there's all the people around about, you know, all the different characters that are around about. There's a message in each one of them. There's a centurion. There's the women and there's the soldiers gambling. And there's a whole load of folk there, you know. And very few of them realised that they were witnessing the most momentous day in history. Bar none. None of the soldiers put Jesus to death, you know. It's good to know that. Do you know what he did? No, he didn't. I want you to listen to what he did. The Bible says that he bowed his head and he dismissed the spirit. He voluntarily stepped into death. I lay down my life for the sheep. Lastly, we get to the book of the Hebrews, the one I can never find. And the writer tells us a wonderful thing. He's talking about the Lord, and he says, this man, that's the way he spoke. There's about six verses, you know, I was thinking about the Lord before I came here. Six or seven verses that said, this man, I'm going to only use one, but you know tonight. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever. That's a wonderful thing. It says he sat down at the right hand of God. Oh, really? Sat down. You might say to me tonight, why would the Bible tell us that the Lord Jesus sat down? Why do we need to know that? There's probably a few reasons, but there's one that's very important to us tonight, and it's this. Do you know the reason it's that is? Because the work that he came to do from heaven, remember I came to do from heaven, the work that he came to do was finished. You know, there's some people try to get to God by their own way. I can understand that, I'll be honest with you. I can, to an extent, understand that. But I tell you, it can't happen. But it's not been done with it. It can't happen. And more beautifully still, it doesn't have to happen. It is unnecessary for it to happen. Why is it unnecessary? Because the work of salvation, that you and I can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally, and to come into a living relationship with God, the work for that has been done. We just got to put our faith in that. We are mums and dads today, and we're talking about a man called Moses this week. And he's in a chapter in Hebrews called Hebrews chapter 11, and it talks about by faith Moses. Nobody gets to heaven in automatically. I told you heaven was a place. And hell's also a place. Because if there's one, there's the Bible talks about both. You see, we can get right with God tonight because the Lord said, I came down from heaven. I laid down my life on the sheep. And he sat down in the right hand of God. You know, he's there tonight. He is there tonight. We can't see him. Sometimes, you know, the human mind is a great thing. Sometimes we think because we can't see something, it's not there. And it's just great. There's a multitude of things that we can't see, and they're there. There's a man in the right hand of God tonight. And he has done the work of salvation. Has been completed. When we put our faith and trust in him, he says, I'll forgive you. I'd like to talk to you about forgiveness, but I'm going to tell you. He says, I'll forgive you. He says, I'll change you. The Holy Spirit of God will come to live within you. I'd like to talk to you about that as well. And he said, one day I will take you back to heaven from where I came. Boys and girls, it's not automatic. But let me tell you, it's real. It's real. And you know, it applies to everything. There's some things in this world that just apply to some folk. You know, maybe at a certain age, 12 and under, 75 and over, the rest is drunk. There's a great word in the Bible, you know, it's called whosoever. I love that one. There's no discrimination with whosoever. It's not because you've got a good job you get it. Or it's not because you've got a lot of money or a good house or a big car or any of that. No, you've got a good education. It is through faith in the finished work of Christ, and it's for whosoever. And this Bible week here is for Scally. It would be a wonderful thing if somebody came to know Christ as their Saviour through me here this week. I want to thank you for listening to me. You've done well, and I want to thank you for that. And may the Lord bless you. Thank you. Just have a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we do thank you for things from the Bible that we can learn. We thank you for the authority of Scripture. We thank you for words of life. We thank you for words whereby we can be saved. And we give thee thanks for every person who's in this room tonight. All different ages, all different stages. Each one of us with a past and in thy will with a future. And we would ask in these days when we're here to enjoy ourselves and enjoy each other's company. But we may come to know the Lord Jesus if we don't know him. Whom the Bible tells us whom to know is life eternal. We thank thee for this time we've enjoyed, and we'd ask for thy blessing to be upon us this week. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Supper will be quarter past 9 during the dining room, and then after supper we will open up the. I should have said as well, for those who haven't spoken to it already, just to remind you, there is a lounge up the stairs where there is always tea and coffee available at any time. For those who get brought something, you need to talk about their coffee.
Right.